I've been meaning to talk about this on air with Mike for months, and I keep forgetting.
It's okay. We haven't put it out yet, so it's all
it's
good.
It's not out yet, but Mike is writing.
And I wrote it a year ago.
And the artist is Matt, what's his last name?
Matt Jacobs.
Matt Jacobs. And they're doing a Faith No More Mr. Bungle comic.
Because we wanted it all, and we could have it if we wanted it.
Mike and I are both huge Mike Patton fans. I've seen some of the art, and it's Matt is doing an incredible job. And I haven't read anything, but I'm... So what is it? Basically like a history of the band?
I'm a huge fan of rock music and a huge fan of comics. I've never quite... I mean, except with the exception of like the Fifth Beatle, that was really good. But for the most part, rock and roll comics don't really work. Have you ever read any of the old black and white rock and roll comics?
Like what?
Like, you know, it was called Rock and Roll Comics. The first issue was Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah,
number
yeah,
two
yeah,
was
yeah.
Metallica. And they actually did a New Kids on the Block eventually.
I don't know if it was that series, but when I was like, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade, I think I bought a Metallica comic because I was so into Metallica.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was before
like,
the Black Album.
Cheesy
so it was,
art,
yeah.
But like you were happy just to have a Metallica comic.
Yeah, I was like, oh my
book.
God, a Metallica comic.
And it was on newsstands too, and it was black and white. And but what they would do is, you know, they would look at like the history of the band, and they would say, okay, so, you know, in 1985 or 84 or 83, Dave Mustaine was fired. So they would write this dialogue where, Dave Mustaine, this is not working out. You yeah. have to leave, you know. Well, fuck you. I'm going to drink my beers anyway. And it was like just this lame sort of like phoned in dialogue. So I was asked to write this thing. And knowing how, because I'm a fan myself, how like sort of judgmental the fan base can be. I was like, oh. But I was like, oh, you know what? If I don't do it, somebody else will do it.
Right.
And if it sucks, I'll be like, damn, I wish I'd done it, you know. So I don't think it sucks. I think it's pretty good. But I took a different approach in that, like, I don't know what their conversations were. I don't know who said what, what right. happened when. I mean, I know what happened when. So I wrote, it's called A Fan's Eye View.
Oh, that's
and
it, cool.
And it's told from my perspective, but it captures a lot of the iconic moments of the band from the time I started following them in, like, 1990 till today.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, after the script was written and the book was in progress and stuff, we sent it to Faith No More blog, which is like this, it's not an official blog, but
no,
they're
but
in
it's,
contact with
yes,
the members.
Right.
So the guy who runs it is like, oh, you should send it to Billy and see what he thinks. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I sent it to him.
Billy Gould, the bass player,
who kind of is sort of the de facto manager of the band, too.
Yeah, he's like the media contact.
So I sent it to him, and he I didn't expect him to read it, but he read it like in 2 hours or less, and he wrote back, and he's like, yeah, just curious, how'd you know some of this stuff? I was like, oh, I've been following you guys, you know, and reading the interviews and stuff.
So you didn't have, like, his home address in there or something?
No, but, you know, when I was a teenager, yeah, like, I did do something really creepy stalkery. When I first came to California in 1996, my girlfriend at the time and I drove to San Francisco for a weekend, and I looked up the members of the band in the phone book, and Roddy Bottom's number was in the phone book, but I didn't call it. You know, I just like, oh, tore out the page. And then when I got back to North Carolina, I lived in North Carolina, right? And you get bored in North Carolina. So one night I was just like incredibly bored. I was like, let me call Roddy Bottom up and see what's up. So this is, you know, a landline, right? And if he sees this, he'll probably remember this happening. So it was a landline. And you remember back when like you'd get a phone call, you'd click over and then click back to whoever you're talking
yeah,
to.
Yeah, like call waiting.
Call waiting. I guess it's, you still have that. So anyway, so I call Roddy Bottom up. He's like, hello? I was like, is Roddy Bottom? Yes. He's like, from Faith No More? He's like, yes. I was like, oh, cool. You got a few minutes, dude? And he's like, and he said, well, I'm actually on the other line with my sister. Can you call me back? I was like, Can I call you back? He's like, well, it is a little creepy. I was like, so you don't want me to call you back? He's like, it is a little creepy. I was like, all right, I won't call you back. So that was it. So, but...
I love you so much more now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you loved me a lot before. So, yeah. So, Roddy was in the phone book. Hopefully he's not anymore.
We'll have to... once this episode's up, we'll send it right to him. So, with a... you know.
Whatever. I wrote them in my address book, too, just in case.
Hashtag creepy 1996 phone call. I was like, oh, my God. I remember this.
Yeah, that was
calls funny. His sister. Remember that time? No.
So, but anyway, obviously I was the man for the job, right?
So when does the book come out?
It's a little vague, but the first issue, we're number two. And the first one is Slayer, and that's coming out in March 25th. And I believe it's a bi-monthly book, so that would be May 25th?
Okay.
Something like that. Or right May or June. Comic book day. After, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The album comes out May 19th, which is really cool, because when I was asked to write the book, I didn't
know there would be an album.
And, like, spoiler alert, at the end of the Faith No More comic, it's like, you know, they've been touring and
will no there be news of
what's going to happen, you know, and I didn't think there was. And then they announced it, and serendipitously, did I say that right?
Yes.
The album and the comic are coming out within a month of each other, so it's like...
Hey, well, it sounds like within a week.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll
May,
see.
May?
Well, no, we don't have a hard release.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay.
It'll be either late May or early June. Question.
Yes.
Microphone.
You can make me go all the way over there.
Yeah, it's good exercise.
Okay. It's good exercise.
Just for the people at home, just in case Roddy Bottom's listening.
Is this your own original story, or did they give you the story and then you created the whole dialogue and everything?
It's their life story.
So it's just his observation.
They lived the story, and then I documented it. But again, from the fans I view. So it's like, you know, sort of my introduction to band, every time I saw them live, any sort of personal things that happened during that is all in the book.
So you didn't interview any of them? To get extra
stuff.
Oh, cool.
But I paid it a lot of attention through the years.
It's interesting because when you follow a band as, you know, rabidly as I think both of us probably follow Patton, and a lot of other people do as well.
There's a lot to follow, yeah.
And there's a lot to follow. And you develop a timeline, and it's not like it's unsubstantiated stuff. It's not coming right from an interview, but it's like they did this, and especially with... 90s, like early, well, I guess that's the only, you know, Faith No More, and then especially with them and the Mr. Bungle thing, there's a lot of stories that you hear that are like unfounded or whatever, but some of them, you know, have been proven through YouTube.
Yeah.
I
mean, Mike Patton does a lot of weird stuff. Yeah. He chugged a bottle. This is how he named his record company. Ipecac Recordings, which is this stuff that if you swallow poison, you drink it and it makes you throw up. So he chugged a bottle of Ipecac before a meeting with a record label guy once.
That's amazing.
Threw up all over the guy's desk.
That's amazing.
That's
absolutely amazing.
There was one story that Billy wrote me back, and he's like, well, that's not entirely true, but it's close with the Guns N' Roses tour, because
he'd get on stage every night and basically make fun of them.
They would get on stage and make fun of Guns N' Roses, and even worse...
Opening for Guns N' Roses, right? So it's like this coveted slot they get on stage as the opener.
On the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour.
Coming up behind us.
Right. And in the interviews in the press, so stuff would get... the stuff on stage, I'm sure Axl was still getting his massages and doing his yoga and stuff, but
back then I think yoga would be code for heroin. I don't necessarily think Axl was
doing
yoga in 1990.
He was. That was the big rift between him and the rest of the band, was they were all doing their Jack Daniels and
so it was just like a
Axl was.
It's an act?
Huh?
It was an act?
With Axl?
Yeah.
Oh no, he was like he stopped drinking and stuff. I mean, he stopped partying, I should say. Maybe he's still drinking.
I guess I just always assumed...
Use Your Illusion era is what we're talking
about. Okay.
So he was like, he would fly on a plane, you know, and he had to, quote-unquote, mentally prepare. I've done my research on that, too. I don't see myself writing a Guns N' Roses comic, but I'm very interested in rock culture. So Slash pedal biography, somebody wrote a book about Axl, and it all, when you read it, some things don't match, but holistically it all corresponds. So... Axl took on this, like, his nanny, pretty much, this Yoda figure, this lady who got him into spirituality and all this stuff, and he had to mentally prepare to get on. That's why some shows wouldn't start till, like, 1 in the morning, because he wouldn't go on stage until he was mentally ready. In the meantime, the guys in Guns N' Roses are just getting fucked up waiting for him to show up, you know? So it caused a bit of a rift.
Yeah. The funny thing is, so he was so elevated at that time doing yoga and whatnot, but he wrote a song like Get in the Ring. Really?
Yeah, Banger.
I don't know. It's funny. Like, I went back to the Illusions fairly recently, and You know what? I can't fucking stand his voice. I don't know when they I mean, I could still do Appetite for Destruction start to finish in the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great rock record. And I think there's, like, stuff about The Illusions that's good, but...
I love them. I mean, there are definitely some soft spots,
there's
but
some,
I love them.
Some terrible, terrible shit.
But it's strange, dude. That's a great album. That's a great song.
It is great. All the longer ones. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so I
we're not talking much about comics, are we?